Hallelujah. Who wants to bless the Lord? Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to read from the Word of the Lord. Please turn to Matthew 3. We're going to read verses 11 and 12. Amen. I don't know how to explain it or describe it, but I feel an urgency in the Holy Ghost tonight. Praise God. Matthew 3, 11 and 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Everyone say Holy Ghost. Say fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let's pray again in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for the ministry of your word and your Holy Spirit to be effectual in this place, O God. Let me be your vessel. I pray let each of us hear and sense and respond to the presence of your Holy Spirit and your word. Have your way, God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. As I said, I feel an urgency tonight, and I suppose every time a man gets up or a woman gets up to preach the gospel, they should feel an urgency, because this is an eternal matter we're dealing with. Amen. I run the risk, I suppose, of preaching a message that probably you've heard, something like it, or you've read these verses many times and you're familiar with about what I'm going to say. But I'm here to tell you that I feel God is reaching for some souls here tonight. Amen. And normally when I'm preparing for a message, I try to ignore any application for anyone. I try not to think about who it might apply to or how it might apply. I just try and focus on what I feel like the Lord is giving me. But tonight, I feel that without having any names or faces in mind, I feel like the Lord is reaching for some that maybe are on the fence. Maybe you're here tonight and you've always kind of held off a little bit. You're not really sure. Or maybe you're one of those brothers or sisters who feels like you have come so close so many times to breaking through and really getting what God has for you. I believe God's reaching for you tonight. Passage I'm reading from and the process we're going to talk about, some of us are too familiar with it, in that we've heard it so many times that we may not be so responsive, and then others of us are so far removed from reaping and sowing that those words don't even mean anything to us because we just go to Hardee's and get our food. But this is a spiritual concept, a spiritual principle that we need to be aware of. This is the message of John the Baptist talking about Jesus. And John the Baptist said that Jesus wants to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That means if you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, Brother Rick was talking about it earlier, you can be filled with God's Holy Spirit because he wants to fill you. But John also said that he wants to baptize us with fire. And for many of us here that are filled with the Holy Ghost, it's been a little while since we've been baptized with fire. He wants to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. How is he going to do that? John said he's going to thoroughly purge the floor. And he's going to use the fan in his hand. Now, my wife carries this little fan in her purse. And when she gets warm in service, she fans herself. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about something else entirely. But John gives us an image, and if I can use the word, an agrarian image, an image from the farm life that, like I said, many of us are not familiar with. But God's plan is to gather the wheat into the granary, into the barn. He's talking about the threshing process. And the fan is a winnowing fan. And purging is removing the useless part of the plant from the grain itself. So whether it's corn or wheat or barley or whatever the grain is, this threshing process removes the grain itself from the rest of the plant. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to give us purpose. He wants to give us meaning. Jesus promised life and life more abundant. Now I know for many of us, when we were on the other side of this thing, we couldn't imagine how could a Christian's life be more abundant. But after you've been walking with the Lord for a little while and you see the blessings of God poured out in your life, it's not always, doesn't always show up in your wallet or in your pocketbook, but, and it used to bother me when I was a new Christian when they would talk about the riches of Christianity because I hadn't quite got there yet. But I have great riches. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I have a wife who loves me, and I love her. We have three wonderful adult children and three perfect grandchildren. Right, Logan? Amen. He didn't like that. He was busy. I interrupted him. Praise God. But God has a plan. He wants to get rid of the chaff. Talking about threshing grain, it's God's will for every one of us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. For every one of us to have a fruitful Christian life. Not just getting by, but to have fruit, to be productive, to have purpose. He wants to remove the junk from our lives, from our spirits, from our souls. And he wants to leave the fruit, the green. I don't know about you, but often in the past when I read this passage and I read this, the way John says it, it says that the Lord's fan is in his hand and he'll thoroughly purge the floor. It sounds almost like a threat. Like, here comes an angry God, look out. Get it right or die. But that's not really what it's saying. It's actually, if you're on the right side of this thing, it's a promise of good things. Of course, if your life is full of chaff, the Bible says it's all going to be burnt up. But God wants to do good things for you and for me. I'm going to say that again. God wants to do good things for us. It's not an angry God coming to thresh out our lives. No, the only negative part is the chaff. God wants to make something good out of our lives. He wants to give us purpose. He wants to make our life worthwhile. But it starts with the seed. There's no grain. There's no chaff. There's no harvest. There's no threshing if there's no seed. Look at Mark chapter 4, verses 2 through 8. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them, in his doctrine, hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Everyone said wayside. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun rose up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Say stony ground. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Say thorny ground. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60, some 100. Say good ground. Amen. These different types of soil, I'm not going to cover all of them. I want to talk about the soil that brought forth fruit. Because that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about getting the grain out of the plant, getting the fruit of the harvest. Amen. Jesus explained the meaning of this parable in the following verses, verse 13 and 14 of Mark 4. He said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word." We're talking about the word of God. There's something about the Word of God that we cannot fully comprehend. It's a miraculous thing that God Himself chooses to use men and women to preach the gospel. And when we do what He calls on us to do, He speaks. And Jesus said that the word is like the sower going forth and sowing the seed. And the image here is not, you know, the plowed field and a machine dropping seeds in. It's a sower with a bag over his shoulder, and he's casting seed on the ground. So it spreads on all types of soil, thorny and rocky, and even on the wayside where there is no preparation whatsoever. Much of it doesn't bear fruit, but some of it does. In verse 20, it says, "And these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word," say, "hear the word," "and receive it." Amen. Will you receive the word tonight? "And bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Whenever the word of God is preached, eternal seed is sown, spread on the ground of our hearts. And it's the condition of our heart that determines what happens to that seed. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's nothing wrong with God's word. And even though I'm a flawed individual and a faulty messenger, whether or not the Word of God takes root depends on the condition of our hearts. Doesn't depend on the sower, doesn't depend on the seed, because the seed is a constant. The sower is actually the Holy Spirit, God Himself. They're always the same. The only thing that changes is the heart of the hearer. You can start out even tonight with a stony heart, and by the end of the evening, you can be open to the Word of God if you'll let the Holy Ghost minister to you. Amen. What kind of heart do I have? Ask yourself that question. Is it a wayside heart? Is it stony? Is it thorny? Or are you ready to receive the Word? Are you ready to let Jesus help you? That's the question. Are you ready to rely on Him? Are you ready to receive the Word and get some answers from God? Are you willing to let God's Word release faith in your heart? Many of us have heard the Word of God many, many times, but the Bible says it doesn't have any effect until the Word is mixed with faith. You may have heard the same word many times, but tonight may be the night when you're allowed or you're able to mix it with faith. And God can give you, fulfill the promise that you need. But it's a process. This threshing that we're reading about, this winnowing with the fan, it's just part of a process that begins with the sowing of the seed and it ends on the threshing floor. Sometimes it takes a moment. You may have never heard the word of God before. You may have never felt God's presence like you have tonight. And by the end of the night, you may be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Or sometimes it takes a lifetime, and perhaps tonight that promise God gave you so many years ago will finally be fulfilled. And that's the next group of people that I feel like God laid on my heart that He's reaching for tonight. I really believe I believe that there's someone here that tonight you're going to be brought back to a time and a place when God touched your heart, when God touched your mind, when the Word of God came to you. And it may be so long ago that you have forgotten it, but I'm here to tell you that that seed is still alive in your heart. And God wants to bring forth fruit in your life. Hallelujah. James said it was possible to be a hearer of the Word and not a doer. And that's the problem sometimes. We hear the word and we're moved by it, touched by it, but we don't do what it says. And the seed just sits there, isn't allowed to germinate. It is a blessing to hear the word of God. I know some people that they listen to preachers online, they watch them online, they come to church and listen to preaching, that they hear preaching twice a day, every day, 7 days a week. It's a blessing to hear the preached word of God, just to hear it. But God wants to bring a harvest. I said God wants to bring a harvest in our lives. Luke 10:2 says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." We need to see with the eyes of Jesus. The harvest is great, he said. Sometimes we get the idea in our mind that we're on this little island and the rest of the world out there has never heard, has never felt the presence of God, but in fact, there are thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands right here in Dane County that are white and ready to be harvested, that the Word of God is planted in their heart. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been carrying a seed of the Word for a long time. God wants to bring it to fruition in your life. See, the grain has to be gathered in. That's why we need harvesters. That's why we need laborers. The grain has to be gathered. It can't be left out in the field. Yes, there's fruit in the stalk. There's grain there. It's ready to be harvested, but we need to have more than just a response to the Word of God. We need to come into the presence of God and let it be activated by the power of God. The grain has to be gathered in. It has to be cut down. It has to be brought into the threshing floor. They brought the whole plant into the threshing floor, and they spread it out there. A threshing floor is one of two types. Especially flattened outdoor surface, usually circular and paved, or inside a building with a smooth floor, stone or wood. And that's where the threshing takes place. They bring the plants in, the barley or corn or wheat or whatever it is that they're trying to separate the wheat from the chaff, the grain from the chaff, and they spread it out on the floor. Now, seems kind of a strange thing to do, but there has to be some violence taking place there. It needs to be busted loose. Anybody here want to bust loose tonight? Anybody feel like it's time? Praise God. This is what Jesus was talking about in the verse that we read in the original text. That's where the winnowing fan is. And what they did was they spread that out on the floor, and they would either roll something very heavy across the top of it back and forth, or they'd stomp around on it, or bring in their oxen and have it tread the grain and break up the chaff and try to press the grain out from the kernels out from the husk, and so that it would bust loose that grain so that they could get at what they needed. That's what it's like in the presence of the Lord. What you're feeling here tonight in the presence and the power of God, we're in the threshing floor. God's moving here. And it's not to hurt us. It's not to condemn us, but it's to set us free. It doesn't have to be a church service. God can deal with us anywhere. God can bring us to the threshing floor in our car or in our kitchen or at work or in jail. For some people, they get those two confused, work and jail. But he can deal with us when we get pulled over for speeding or for running a red light. Not always a positive situation when God deals with us. But in the end, he wants to do good. The threshing process was a forceful thing. Literally, these plants were caught between a rock and a hard place. It would break the stems and the leaves and the husks away from the grain. And without this beating, grain would not separate from the chaff. Some of us aren't as fruitful as we'd like to be. Some of us haven't received the promises of God that we've been waiting on. Maybe you're one of those people that has been so close. You felt like it was going to happen. Like God was going to bring you through to the other side, that you were going to receive that direction, that word, that promise that you've been seeking. Some of you here tonight still need the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to have your sins washed away. Jesus Christ will do that if you will allow him to bring you to the threshing floor and break away some of the chaff in your life. Some of us are holding on too tight to the things that are actually holding us back. Things that have been part of our lives, but they're not spiritually fruitful. Things that are keeping the word from being useful. Maybe a relationship or an addiction or some activity. The Bible says that we should run the race with patience, but that we should lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Some things are just weights in our life. It's not sin, but it's holding us back. This is the threshing floor tonight. I said, we're at the threshing floor tonight. We've heard the word, but we're holding back. So it's not working for us. It's not working in us. Sometimes the circumstances of life are meant to put us between a rock and a hard place so that we can let the word of God be fruitful. God wants us to release his word, but we're hanging on to something so tight, and God won't violate our will. And as a result, he can't do what he wants to do. Jesus was talking about this kind of resistance in Luke chapter 20. Verse 17, he beheld them and said, "What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to a powder." Praise God. We have a choice tonight. God's trying to separate some things in our lives. You want to fall on the stone and be broken? That's called repentance. That means we're casting ourselves at the feet of Jesus. We're admitting that we're sinners. We're admitting that we're holding back on Him. And we surrender whatever it is, the sin or the limitation that we're placing on His Word. We give it to Him. We stop doing things our way. We stop going the direction we want to go. And we change direction. We surrender to Him. Fall on the stone. Because if you hang on to whatever you're hanging on to, eventually the Word of God will grind us to powder. What are you hanging on to? Isn't the blessing of God much better? Are you on the threshing floor tonight? You feel like you're between a rock and a hard place? Is God dealing with your heart? Release the Word of God. Praise God. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose. God wants to give fruit to you. It's time to fall on the rock to get free of the chaff. In Matthew, John said that Jesus had his fan in his hand. The winnowing fan. It was like a big fork or a shovel. A shovel-sized fork, maybe, is a good way to describe it. And they would scoop up those crushed plants on the floor of the threshing floor, and they'd scoop them up and throw them up in the air. And they did it normally in a windy place, so the wind would come through and carry the chaff away. They'd do it, keep doing it, crush it some more, throw some more up, let the wind carry it away until finally there was grain left on the floor and the chaff was carried out. You can have the chaff in your life carried out tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost. John 3:7 says, "Marvel not that I said unto ye," Jesus said, "you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. Whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." Praise God. Over and over again in the Bible, the Scripture identifies the Holy Spirit by comparing it to the wind. I felt the wind this evening when we worshiped the Lord. I feel the wind blowing in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost moving and talking to hearts. If you will let go of the things that are preventing God from working in your life, His Spirit will carry it right away from you. He'll set you free. He that the Son hath set free, Jesus said, is free indeed. Praise God. I remember coming into a Pentecostal church and looking around and wondering how people could live this way. I could never do that, I thought. I'm too entrenched in this lifestyle. I've got too much that I enjoy feeding my life with. But when the power of God came and touched my heart and touched my mind, and I began to receive the Word and have faith that I could be free from drugs and alcohol and the lifestyle I was living, when the Word of God spoke to my heart, I began to find a place to pray and surrender it to Him. See, we lift our hands when we worship around here. Man, that's a universal sign of surrender. Amen. That's exactly what we're doing. We're surrendering. Now, you may think that's a wimpy thing to do, but when you're talking to an almighty, all-powerful God of the universe, probably the smartest thing to do is to surrender to Him.
I surrender. When I'm caught between a rock and a hard place, the best thing to do is surrender to Jesus Christ. Recently, I was talking with Pastor Fabian. We were trying to help a man that we knew. He hadn't been to church for a while, and he told Pastor Fabian, there's just so much going on in my life, so many things that are going wrong. I just didn't feel right about going to church. And he stopped and he looked at me and with this quizzical look on his face, and I looked back at him. I had the same look on my face. I thought, that's absolutely backwards. That's the time you need to go to church when everything's going wrong. Let Jesus use his winnowing fan in your life. Let the Holy Ghost come into your world and change it forever. Get back to being fruitful. Have purpose. Maybe you never allowed God to move in your life before. Maybe it was so long ago that you can barely recall what it was like. But you know, the Word of God never returns void. The Word of God is eternal. That's why something you heard when you were a child, some prayer that was prayed for you in Sunday school, some commitment you made to God so long ago, it's still alive. During an excavation of Herod the Great's palace on the mountain called Masada in Israel in the 1960s, they found a cache of date palm seeds preserved in an ancient jar. They'd been in a dry environment for centuries. They dated these seeds to be from 155 BC to 64 AD. That's quite accurate, radiocarbon dating. But anyway, the seeds were held in. That was for you, Brooklyn. Then they took those seeds back in the 60s, and for 40 years, they stored them in a university in Israel. But in 2005, Elaine Soloway of the Center for Sustainable Agriculture managed to plant these seeds, and they sprouted. Three of the seeds were subsequently planted at Keturah in Israel, and 8 weeks later, one of the seeds sprouted and grew nearly a dozen fronds. By the summer of 2010, the sapling stood about 2 meters tall. The plant was nicknamed Methuselah, after the longest living person in the Bible. Methuselah is remarkable in being the oldest known tree seed successfully germinated, and also in being the only living representative of the Judean date palm, a tree that was otherwise extinct for over 800 years. Hallelujah. We're on the threshing floor right now. The Holy Ghost wants to set you free. The Bible says that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any sword. That means, and it says it can get down into the deepest part, into the heart of the man. It divides between right and wrong, and good and evil. God can sort it out. The things you don't understand, the Word of God can do. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. There's someone here tonight that the Holy Ghost is germinating the Word that God put in your life a long time ago. Praise God. Won't you come? Oh, I feel the presence of God here tonight. never repented from your sin, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm inviting you to come right now here and pray. Right here on the threshing floor, if you will. The Holy Ghost is here.